And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is deep reflection. Each of my guests is discussing aspects of our life that require deep reflection now. My first guest is a psychiatrist and professor at Harvard and UCLA Medical Schools. We discussed how seasonal factors affect our psychological lives from his latest book, The Emotional Calendar. My second guest is the internationally respected authority in economics, finance, and corporate leadership. We discussed the merits of capitalism and how it will save the economy. My next guest is a world-renowned motivational speaker. He has the rare ability to make a room warmer, happier place simply by being in it. We'll discuss mid-course corrections to life and business in 1 month into the new year 2011. And if you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 805-639-0008. Jim Cathcart is listed in the Professional Speakers Hall of Fame. He's the recipient of the prestigious Golden Gavel Award, along with such other distinguished speakers as Earl Nightingale, Art Linkletter, and Zig Ziglar. He has been the president of the National Speakers Association, and he's received the Cavett Award for Lifetime Success. He's the author of 15 books and scores of recorded programs. It was once said of Jim Cathcart is what Fonzie would have been if he had gone to business school. Welcome, Fonzie, to the show. How are you today?
I can't wait to hear what I've got to say. That was a great introduction, Bill.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show, Jim, because you are very uplifting, and we're having a great day in radio. But I'm going to start out with a personal story, if I can, and let the listeners in on a little secret here. When we first met, you gave me a small pewter acorn, and you told me, out of small beginnings, large oak trees grow. And I've kept that acorn with me every day that I am on the air here, and I internalized your message to mean that something big is going to come out of this radio show. And every time I look at the acorn, I'm reminded of that. You're known for the acorn principle. So what is the message that you want others to learn from the acorn principle?
Well, a big part of the acorn principle, which is a book about self-awareness, is accepting who you are. You know, most people spend way too much of their time thinking they ought to be somebody else. And so when they see a role model, instead of just learning from him or her, they try to become him or her. And, of course, you're going to always fall short if you're trying to be somebody you're not. And one of the stories I tell when I'm doing the acorn principle presentations is about a little acorn that was going to redwood camp to learn how to be a giant redwood. And, of course, it was reading books on redwood, and it was associating with redwoods, and it was saying, I am a redwood, great and tall. My mighty branches shelter all. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. And it was still an oak. And it was a very, very insecure oak because it was trying to be something else. But if it had focused on being an oak, it could have been one of the greatest oaks that ever lived. And that's the same thing for you and me. We're all gifted at something. Everybody's designed to be pretty doggone good at something. And I think our task in life is finding out what that is. That's God's gift to us. And then our gift to the world should be absolutely fulfilling that gift. In other words, make it full and fill the world with what we've got to contribute. And one of the things that disappoints me is when people live a tiny little quiet life, they don't want to make any waves. And I think, well, how absolutely selfish of you. You were born with certain abilities. You've got the ability to create things. You've got the ability to fix things. You've got the ability to love people, to come up with new ideas, to offer a different point of view, to encourage somebody. There are so many ways you could make this world a better place, and you sitting quietly at home just watching TV instead of making waves, shame on you. Get out there and live. Speak yourself out loud.
Wow. That is profound. I mean, that really is, Jim. And you can see why Jim is such a marvelous motivational speaker. And Jim, I want to ask you, because the reason I brought you on the show is to talk about mid-course corrections right here. And we set this artificial date of January the 1st as setting New Year's resolutions, and now we're coming to the end of January. A lot of the good intentions of those New Year's resolutions are waning. It's time for a tune-up, a mid-course correction, if you will, if we're going to stay on track for the rest of the year. So what are some things that we should reflect on to help us achieve our 2011 goals?
Well, number one is forget the calendar. you don't need a turning point date. You know, on December 25th, my wife and I, well, Christmas, my wife and I were talking about things we wanted to do, you know, like goals for the new year. And I said, well, I'm about 10 pounds heavier than I'd like to be, so I'm going to take off 10 excess pounds. And she said, well, when are you going to start? And I said, now. She said, now? She said, why don't you start January 1, because, you know, we've got the New Year's Eve celebration, things like that. And I said, well, no, I'm going to start now. I said, I'm going to give myself a pass for New Year's Eve, you know, to have some wine, enjoy the food, and just not worry about it. But I'm going to be on a restricted regimen for the next 6 weeks, and I'll remove 10 pounds, and then I'll be fine. And a lot of my friends say, well, you know, it would have been so much better to start the first year. No, it wouldn't. Who needs a calendar date in order to decide to go after what they want? And by the way, I've taken off 8 excess pounds. I got 2 to go, and I'm almost done.
Well, good for you. I mean, that is great. That is marvelous. So why do we impose these artificial dates like New Year's Eve to set resolutions?
Well, it's symbolic. You know, it's a milestone. It's kind of like, boy, it sure is a long way to our destination. Oh, here comes Bakersfield. We're halfway there, you know. So it's something like that. It's a milestone. But the trouble is, it becomes a millstone. I've never thought of that analogy before, but that's pretty doggone good. You know, milestones and millstones.
Yeah.
Millstone hanging around your neck and keeping you from lifting your head and doing the things that you're capable of doing otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
We put burdens on ourselves. I'm going to do this as soon as the kids are out of school. Or, man, I tell you what, if I didn't have to do blank, then I would do blank, blank, and blank. Well, excuse me, if it matters to you, find a way. Well, people say, oh, I don't know how to do it. Well, that's the point. Goals are not about saying, okay, I know how to do this, therefore I'm going to do it. That's not a goal. That's just a task, an objective. Goals are about determining what you want long before you know whether or how you can do it. And then there's another fallacy. Most people think not only do they have to have the answers or the roadmap first, which is wrong. You're supposed to have the destination first. Then you can work out the roadmap and the answers. The second thing is people, they say, I can't get started yet because I don't have these assets in place. And so as soon as I get those, you know, then everything will be fine. No. You're not in it alone. That's the big fallacy. People think, okay, if I want to be president of my corporation or the leading citizen in my community or the greatest athlete on my team or in my sport or whatever, it's up to me. You know, if it is to be, it's up to me. And that's true to a large extent. However, you aren't in this alone. Everybody has somebody else at the end of their rope when they're climbing that mountain. Everybody. And everybody is on the end of someone else's rope. So when you think about it, there are people that are depending on you, and there are people you depend upon. You know, I depend upon the highway department to keep the roads in good enough repair that they can be traveled on. I depend upon the power company to keep producing power. As long as I pay for it, I get it, you know. I depend on lots and lots of people. Well, a lot of people depend on me, too. So I need to see my part in the food chain, and even though I might think I'm really, really unimportant, I'm very, very important to those that know me best and are closest to me.
Absolutely.
It's like a friend of mine said at a recent meeting. We were talking about our lives and our careers, doing a mastermind meeting, you know, just helping each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, when you get older, you have a duty, an obligation, to remain healthy, because if you don't take care of your own health, you become a burden on those around you.
Wow. We're talking to Jim Cathcart, everybody, author of The Acorn Principle. Jim, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you there.
No worries.
We're talking about mid-course corrections. Jim, I wanted to jump in because I wanted to challenge you a little bit. Those people that say, I will start becoming president of my company when this, this, and this happens, or I'm going to start to lose weight on January the 1st because that's the beginning of the new year, I want to ask your professional opinion on that. To me, that just seems like a form of procrastination, that they're putting it off, waiting for the right moment. The right moment may never come, but even if the right moment doesn't come, they don't have to live up to their own goals, their own expectations.
Right. It is. It's a form of procrastination, and it's self-deception. So you say, okay, I'm going to lie to me, but then I'm not going to look in the mirror until after time has passed. You know, in other words, they know they're lying to themselves, and they have somehow numbed themselves to that reality, and so they just go blissfully along from day to day with this low-level pain of knowing that they're lying to themselves.
Mm.
So, and the problem with that thinking is it doesn't work. It doesn't remove the pain. It doesn't keep you safe. It doesn't make you feel better. Feeling better requires that you actually commit. You know, if you're going to jump in the water and swim across to the other side, you got to get wet. And if you don't know how to swim, okay, I get it. Find another way. But if you know how to swim, then step off the edge. But I'm not ready yet. Don't worry about ready. You'll get ready once you're wet. You know, and that's the whole thing. If you begin, it's kind of like in the Bible it says, seek ye first the kingdom and all the rest will be added unto you. Well, take the first step and all the other things will be added to you too.
There you go.
So it's not just learning to fly on your way off the cliff. It's taking something that you know you can do at least on a basic level and committing so that you start acquiring more skill at it. For example, I play guitar and sing, and I've been doing that for many, many years, but my skill wasn't up to performance, you know, paid performance quality a few years ago. And so the first thing I did was book a paid engagement.
And that put pressure on you.
Yeah. What in the world were you thinking, Jim? You weren't worth it. No, but by the time the engagement came around, I was. Because I practiced like crazy to make sure that I was worth my pay and worth paying attention to by the time that performance came around.
Well, and that's because you also had the self-respect and you wanted to have the responsibility to deliver the best program that you possibly could.
Well, yes and no. You said you had the self-respect. I wanted the self-respect. And so in order to get the self-respect, I have to earn that from me.
Very good. We're talking to Jim Cathcart, everybody, author of The Acorn Principle. We're talking about mid-course corrections here at the end of January to our New Year's resolutions. And Jim, I want to get it on the table before we run out of time. You've got something called the causal chain. What is it, and why is the causal chain important to listeners for them to be aware of their own causal chains?
If you think about it, and this is causal, as in the word, this caused that, and this caused that, and this caused that. If you take somebody's attitude, let's say they have a terrible attitude, they're cynical, they're critical of everybody else, which means they're probably also very critical of themselves. If they start with that attitude, that will become, over time, a habit. And that habit will become their reputation. Oh, let's don't get together with him because he's such a cynical, sour guy, right?
Right.
And that reputation will limit the relationships that are available to him or her. And those relationships determine what parts of your future open up for you and which ones are doors are closed. So if I change my attitude, which like a friend of mine, David Essarnow, said, it's like attitude's like a flat tire. A bad attitude is. If you don't change it, you're not going anywhere. So, that's a pretty good quote.
I like that.
But if I change my attitude and I start looking for the good in everything, you know, optimism's not about thinking everything is good. It's about always looking for the good instead of always looking for the bad. And assuming there are possibilities and there are solutions, you go after them and you find them. You don't have to see them first. You go after them optimistically, you will find them. So with a good attitude, I will develop a habit of being a positive person, and other people will want to be around me, which will gain me a reputation of being a good guy to have around, which will open up for me relationships that previously would have been closed to me, And those relationships will create or open to me possibilities that I had never dreamed of before. And my future expands exponentially just because I change the way I think from day to day. And your thinking is a habit. Self-leadership is the key, and here's the definition. Getting yourself to do what needs to be done, whether you feel like it or not.
Mm, that's the key, whether you feel like it or not.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Jim, you clearly live this. We're talking to Jim Cathcart, everybody, by the way, author of The Acorn Principle. We're talking about mid-course corrections. You clearly believe this. You've opened up a lot of opportunities, not only for you in your business life, but also in your professional speaking life. And I've had the good fortune to know many, many public speakers. Each of them speaks for different reasons. But I want to kind of get behind you a little bit, Jim, to learn more about what is it that you get out of public speaking to crowds?
I get a really deep sense of satisfaction when I feel like I've helped somebody grow. When somebody says to me, you know what, after your speech, I was thinking about what you said, and I thought, you know, I never thought about it that way, but I could do that. That makes perfect sense. That's the greatest audience response I can get. Someone's thinking shifted to a different way of looking at things, looking at others and looking at themselves. And because of that, it opens up possibilities to them that weren't there, but were closed to them before.
That is wonderful. Go on, Jim.
Yeah. Helping people grow. That's been my slogan since 1976.
And it is a great slogan. We've been talking to Jim Cathcart, everybody, author of The Acorn Principle, also a great motivational speaker. Now, Jim, you've just sort of hit us with a fire hose of information. People might want to know more about you, more about your works and so forth. Where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Two places, Cathcart, CathCart.com. That's my main website, blog site. And just look me up on Facebook, Jim Cathcart. They'll find all kinds of videos and free articles and things like that. It's a fun place to go. It has over 300 pages in my website, Cathcart.com.
Wow. All right, that's Cathcart.com. Jim, it has been a delight, as always. Very uplifting. Love having you on the show. We'll talk to you down the road.
You're a pro. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you so much.